We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, there is indeed power in this room, power in the presence of your word, power in the bread and the wine that you set before us. Lord, your power is and remains always at work in us for our good, both now and for eternity. Lord, may you continue to work this power through your word and through your spirit in each and every one of our lives today. May you increase our thanksgiving for you. May you increase our love for you and for one another. Lord, may you always guide us in the way that we should go, the way which seeks to follow in the steps of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray, amen. Now, there are a few people, by few I mean not many, few people who enjoy the whole process of buying a car. Personally, I only know one person and he's standing in the back, but there are others who enjoy that process. But most of us detest the process of buying a car from beginning to end. Now, if you're setting out to buy a new car, here's the good news, at least as it relates to a new car, is it comes with a warranty. The dealership says, we believe wholeheartedly in the $60,000 you're spending on this car for 3 years and 36,000 miles. Beyond that, it's on you. But when you set out to buy a used car, well, then you could say you're taking maybe a little bit more of a gamble. You ask yourself questions, don't you? You say, so is there anything about this car that I don't know? You ask questions. Is anyone going to tell me why the person traded this car in? Am I inheriting their problem when I purchase the car? Do I know everything about this car? Now, how many of you hope that in a moment like that, all you have to do is to trust the word of the car salesman? Right? No one really does. And this is why they invented a whole process called certified pre-owned vehicles. Right? What does certified pre-owned mean? Well, it means to you, the buyer, that they have gone through an extensive process looking and checking this car upside down and all around to make sure there are no problems that you're going to inherit. They want you to know that you can trust them, that this car will be great for you. Now, even if you're like me and you don't trust them at all, you at least trust that somebody went through these checks on this vehicle, and they're at least saying that we will back this up for a period of time. Well, John today, in the epistle reading, John says this, is that sometimes we believe in the testimony of man. And we do that in all sorts of scenarios in our daily life. But John goes on to say, but the testimony of God is greater. Sometimes we accept the testimony of men, but the testimony of God is greater. John tells us in this chapter 5 of his epistle, he tells us what this testimony is for you and for me. And he says it like this in verse 10. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That is the testimony. So how is this testimony certified, if you will? Well, before our reading began at verse 9, in verse 8, John, an apostle of the Lord, an eyewitness and servant all throughout Jesus' ministry, he gives us a threefold assurance of our salvation through the person of Jesus Christ. And he says this, it comes by water, blood, and the Spirit. That's the threefold testimony or certification, if you will, of this testimony of God. Now, let's start with the water. The water that John references in verse 8 is a reference to Jesus' baptism. And this is a good place to go if you want to know that God says that Jesus is His Son. Because at Jesus' baptism, we hear that the heavens opened and a voice from heaven spoke where those who were present heard it. And the voice simply said this from God the Father. This is My beloved Son, and with Him I am what? Well pleased. The Father confirms the Son of God in His baptism by voice. And it doesn't stop there. John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus, also goes on to say that I saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descend upon Him and remain on Him. Eyewitness testimony of the Spirit. And then the third is the blood. The blood takes us to Calvary with our Lord, where He goes through His own passion and crucifixion on that cross. And the shedding of our Savior's blood testifies greatly, and many things happen when He gives up His life. One of those things is in the temple in Jerusalem, the curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the people of God is torn in two from top to bottom. This is a 50-foot curtain that is torn from top to bottom. At the time of Jesus' death, the sun is covered and darkness is over the face of the whole earth. God's way of saying something unique, something special is taking place at this moment. And then as your Savior and mine gives up His life and breathes His last breath, there is a Gentile soldier or centurion that says, truly, this was the Son of God. Water, Spirit, Word, triple assurance of your salvation and mine in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Of course, there are other assurances that God's Word provides to us, but these are the ones that John witnesses. And don't forget, John was at the foot of the cross at Jesus' death to himself hear the centurion proclaim Jesus to be the Son of God. But there's something else that John says in our letter today, and he says this, whoever does not believe God has made him, God, a liar, because he has not believed God's testimony concerning His Son. To not believe God's confirmation of Jesus Christ as your Savior is to call God or make him out to be a liar. But he says, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And whoever has the Son, John says, has life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in Christ. We have this life that John speaks about on account of, because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Spirit himself testifies to you in your own baptism and says to you, this salvation is yours. It has been delivered to you and sealed with the promise of faith in the Holy Spirit. It's this word that says, take and eat my body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, which is a testifying to you that Jesus is for you. In these ways, God places his name on all of us, and in this way, God gives himself to us in this meal. Not just for forgiveness, but for strength to live in this new life that you and I have been given. So by God's great goodness and grace, you have received Christ Jesus and received eternal life in receiving him. So what is it that John now wants you and I to focus on in light of saying, here is your triple assurance? In other words, there's nothing for you to be concerned about or worry about or doubt as it relates to your being saved through the person and work of Jesus Christ. What is it that he wants to say to us now as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit? Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5. He says this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And John adds this, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This life in Jesus, brothers and sisters, is you and I learning how to love God and one another. When he says these commandments are not burdensome, he's saying quite a bit to you and I, because if the commandments and the way of life that we have been recreated to live is burdensome, then it means that somehow you believe you are going to please him through that way of life and possibly earn something. But when you realize that your salvation is already assured, it is no longer a burden to walk in the way with the love that God has given you for him and for others. Which means this, the assurance and the reality of your salvation means that you can ask yourself some questions about this testimony that God has confirmed to be true for you. Questions like this, what picture are you painting with this new life that God has given to you? In light of salvation being yours through Christ, how have your vocations of mother, of father, of son, of daughter, of husband, of wife, of friend, how have these vocations been changed as a result of your salvation? How are relationships in your life being reconciled? Where have you seen an increase in your love of God and love of others? Where is the Spirit of truth convincing you to confess your sins and failures in that area of your life? What will you do today when you receive the strength that your Lord Jesus literally by His presence gives to you? The love that you receive in that meal, where will you spend that love today? Brothers and sisters, advancing Christ's kingdom simply means you and I are the ambassadors, are the conduits to carry this love of Jesus, which has been poured into you and into me, to those that God has brought near to you. And in doing so, remember this: His ways are not burdensome. If it's a burden, I guarantee you, you're looking at it wrong. It is a joy to live in the liberating freedom Christ has won and given to you and to me. So now let's figure out together, how do we grow in our love of Him? Love of one another. And today, most importantly, love for our moms. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy and comfort and peace it is to no longer have to sweat our salvation. To take you at your word, to trust you. And Lord, you tell us to not take you at your word, to not trust you regarding our salvation, is in effect to call you a liar, of which you are not. So Lord, we rejoice that you confirm and certify this truth in our lives. And Lord, we rejoice that we, through Christ, have been born again to love you and to love others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.